Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady. This is the show for water lovers by water lovers. And you know how I know that is that your pal Hemda just took a big old sip of water and she said, "Ooh, I love water." Keith, thoughts on water?
I don't mind water. It's a good ingredient in other things. Soda, Gatorade.
Gotcha.
I can't even believe it comes out of the faucet just willy-nilly whenever we want.
Isn't that great? And especially, I would say, in the middle of the night when you're so thirsty. Like, say you ate sushi. Say you got sushi delivered and you really did a number on yourself with the old soy sauce. Come 3 a.m., you wake up in a blind panic because you've never been so thirsty in your life. And you stumble over to the sink and just like Jesus, you know, with the water into wine, it's just nothing into water, and you are Jesus. And then you drink it, and it's great.
Right. Now, this is a for instance.
This is just a for instance, and maybe it's just me. You know, I don't know. I don't know your life.
Sometimes I go to brush my teeth, and you know, you like get the water with your hand, and I'm like, no, that one's for drinking. Okay, the next one will be for spit. No, that one's for drinking. Before toothpaste, of course. But I'm like, wow, I'm thirsty. Like five handfuls later, I'm like, I think I'm ready to brush my teeth.
And then she's like, I'm a little kitty.
Yes.
Okay, now for water talk, we do have to get to it. Now, water being in you, we've covered. It's good. Now, you being in water, how about that?
It's been too long. It's been way too long.
Yeah.
Talk to me about getting into water. Talk to me about your process. Now, do you dive right in? Do you go in ankles, knees, jennies, hips?
First of all, as soon as I get to the beach, my mindset is completely different. I'm relaxed. We're like 20 miles away, so we're working up to like maybe biking there, but it's also dangerous that we're just keeping away. But usually I visit the beach a little bit in the summer, so I miss it. I used to jump in just to kind of, you know, get it over with, but now I'm an ankles pussy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I jump in, and that's the way you got to go. That's the way to play it. Sometimes I forget, of course, and I take it slow, and I'm like, no, what am I doing? Just go for it.
You're right.
I've never gone for it and regretted it.
Exactly.
Ever.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it impresses everybody. Ladies love it. Like this guy, I knew the water was cold. This guy's cool.
Yeah. Who invited Baywatch over here? That's what they're saying.
Right. Boy, holding my nose in ears.
We're covering a lot of big topics here.
Yeah. Okay. Now my third and final topic for water talk on today's episode, which I hope will be a recurring segment because I do love it so much.
Hydration Nation.
Now, in the water, drinking water, is this a crime against nature? Go.
Oh, cannibalism water, you mean?
It's in me. It's in my mouth. It's on my mouth. Where does it end? You know?
Oh, it starts there for me, okay? Now, it could be in water, drinking water, and peeing.
Oh. What?
The holy trinity of hydration.
Wow.
Picture
Kenda, like, instead of drinking water, was eating the hamburger. Like, where would that have gone, you know? Anyway, here we are.
I can't believe that.
He's out a hamburger. It's crazy.
I can't believe that Xerxes says, watch me eat a hamburger and still is sexually attracted to me. It is bananas. I'm such a beast about it because I also like, you know, cooked tomatoes in it. And then, like, if you give me any options of fixins, I'll probably tell you all the vegetables on there. The pickles, the jalapenos, the lettuce, the tomatoes, the green peppers, whatever. If we're at Five Guys, yes, please. And then it all comes dripping down my hands. Delish.
I started cutting my burgers in half. Best choice I ever made.
Oh my gosh, Keith. I'm so happy you brought that up. Okay, now we're into sandwich corner. Nothing better than getting that burger, cutting it right in half. You pick up that half, you're handling your business.
Mm-hmm.
And you're handling it like an adult, you know, with a prudent eye. And you don't waste any of those little fallouts. Mm-hmm. You got a firm hand grasp. And what I'm saying is that a burger, you got to treat it like just any of your other sandwiches, you know?
Yeah.
What's better than being in between two halves of a sandwich? That is my namaste. That is my moment of zen in life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw a tweet from somebody that said, by the way, the people that cut their sandwiches into rectangles as opposed to triangles, how many people did they murder? It's a good point. But yeah, you would cut any sandwich in half, anything. Do it to a hamburger. It's life-changing.
Okay. Oh, well,
we're teaching so much.
I'm glad we got through that. You know, I didn't know where you would be on that. I honestly didn't know. And I was worried. I said to myself, if he comes down on the side of don't cut your burger in half, we're going to have trouble. I'm going to walk off the set.
There's going to be rants and raves for him for a week. Like, yeah, can you believe? Okay. Now, okay, we already covered baby rape and comedians raping people. Let's talk about Bianca cutting her burger in half. I've never, and then he rips papers and he half gets up and he gets all sweaty.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I love things in half, period. And this is just one more thing.
Yeah. They call you the King Solomon of everything's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have to get to the show.
Right.
Are you guys excited or what?
I am. Yeah, the PSAs are done and now we get to the meat, so to speak.
Do you feel like the bloom is off the rose of last week on Keeping the Girl? Do you feel like we need to get back to some essential place where we left, or is it just evolving as let's look inward for a sec. Like, what do you think? How are we doing?
I'm not sure of the question, but I do notice on the forums that people can't give you their bone marrow fast enough.
Oh my gosh. Thanks, guys. Yes. And also, everybody who suggested that registry be thematch.org, that's exactly right. You might be a match for me, but you also might be a match for somebody who's as delightful as me, who you haven't met yet.
Don't lie. Nope.
Yeah. So that's a great way to feel like you're doing something. I think also this whole coronavirus time is sort of everybody feels a little impotent. So that might be a nice way. It's an easy way to help. They mail you the special Q-tip and you don't have to buy a stamp to mail it back. They give you self-addressed, you know?
It's something to do.
Yeah, it's an activity. Yeah. Get a swap kit for the whole family. Everybody joins in.
What are you doing this Friday night? Now you got a plan.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. Most of my cousins have gotten back to me. So I have quite a few cousin irons in the fire of DNA and the like. So we'll see what happens, you know?
That's
keep
great.
You posted.
Do people need the DNA? Like when I offered mine to you, it really doesn't matter, right? Because you go with family anyway.
No, it could be a better match from a stranger than a family member.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Hey, we have it recorded, Keith, so we don't even care if you mean it. She doesn't need you to
actually
be nice about it.
No, actually it was behind the scenes. I don't need people to know. I don't need people to know what I'm up to.
You guys. If you didn't know, Keith is a real sweetheart behind the scenes, okay? He talks tough. Mm-hmm. But sometimes he would offer you his bone marrow via text if you needed it.
Oh, people see me, I imagine, jumping right into a pool and I didn't even check the temperature. And they're like, there's no way this guy's a sweetheart. They'd be very surprised.
They see you cutting a burger in half. They're like, what's his deal? Gosh, I can't figure this guy out.
Pick a side.
Too bad he thought he was offering to take you out to dinner at his favorite bone marrow restaurant.
It's so good.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, bones aside, we did have a great week of episodes, and I'm here to talk to you about them. Starting with episode 3299. The show is called Homewreck with Christy Cello, America's own Christy Cello. What an absolute dream she is. And oh, just a breath of fresh air.
I know.
And I love when people who are really into the Bible are like, you know, I just read the Bible and there's some stuff in there that's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally silly. It's weird. It's actually weird. I get it.
She didn't know about the Old Testament. You know, if I was into this guy that is old God, came to Earth, became old man, still old God, don't ask. I'd be curious about his... What?
I'd read one of his books or at least listen to a podcast of his.
Well, my point is I'd be curious about the whole family.
Yeah.
I'd be curious what the dad was up to. Yeah. Well, turns out he's a real pain in the butt.
To me, it's sort of like if you were like, oh gosh, I love Entourage. It's my favorite show. I fucking love that show. It's so good. Oh, the characters, the storylines, the things that they get into and the scrapes they get out of, you know, friendship, brotherly affection, fraternity, honor. And then you watch it, you're like, wait, it's about the entertainment industry? I didn't know that the character was an actor in movies. Okay,
you know,
so...
You know what I
do
like about people?
Brotherhood still, though. I do like Brotherhood, mm-hmm, even though right. I don't like Hollywood. I do like Brotherhood. So I guess it's fine for it to be my favorite show.
Right. Maybe I'll just turn it on and while it's playing, do dishes. But I will proselytize and say it's my favorite fucking show and it has my soul.
Yeah.
I do like people reading the Bible because I feel like it's the best way to start questioning your religion. Yeah. Oh, this is great. Xerxes' dad used to answer the door for, what do you call them?
Jehovah's Witness.
Yes, Jehovah's Witness. And they would quote the Bible to him and it would be like some, I wanted to say ungodly thing, but it's like exactly godly thing. And then, and it would be this fuck, you know, one of those fucked up statements. And then Xerxes' dad would be like, okay, what's the sentence after that? And they're like, huh? He's like, read the sentence after that. And they're like, no, we just, you know, he's got a really good memory. He's got a lot of like quotes and books memorized. He knows it really well. And he would just say the next one and then just kind of like blow them out of the water with their own shit. And it would be kind of like that. It almost like they don't even know. And yeah. And they're coming knocking on his door.
Do you
so
know
bananas.
How sweet that is? Like an academic memorized quote burn. Ooh, baby, nothing better than that. I've only done like maybe two where I'm like, well, as Shakespeare once wrote, you know, and then I fire off the quotation like, fuck you.
Right. Did you say this was Xerxes' dad?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And would Xerxes enjoy it? Because my dad did the same thing, would sit him down and I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. It was the only fun thing my dad ever did.
I want to yell to him. Hey, did you enjoy when your dad, right. I think it was probably like everybody else. Like, it was both good and bad. Like, you understand this is fun and funny, but also, you know, you're at home. So maybe that, but I might just be projecting.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Dad,
like,
you know, shout out to my dad. He's right. Listening. What's up, Dad?
Oh. Hey, Dad. Hey, pops. How's it going? How's the old dad doing? How's the old man?
I think he's good. He's you know, he's hopping and bopping, moving and grooving. Okay. He's got to write in.
What's your bone marrow type?
Yeah. Well, don't tempt him because he will. Anyway, here we go with Christy. I wanted to ask you for a dietitian update.
Yes. So the only thing that we could see that was off-putting is the hashtag Pizzagate. She has not paid for any services from this woman yet. I don't think she will, but I could tell she wants to. There's so many dietitians. It's virtual now, so you have literally the whole world to choose from. Not like you'd like her because she's lives close. And on top of that, which is kind of different, she knows all this stuff. She knows it.
That's my main objection. I mean, yeah. Pizzagate, not great, you know? Like,
right, not
great
best.
To throw that hashtag out, but who knows? Maybe she just thought it was like a hashtag about not eating pizza because it's bad for you. Because right. she's a right, dietitian.
And it did get into her name, registered dietitian, that kind of thing. Right. So maybe she just switched over.
So she's like, pizza bad, you know.
Yeah.
But,
ice cream gate, you know.
Yeah. But I think Kyle is like pretty much there in terms of knowing what is good to eat.
I mean, if the outside matches the inside, she's going to live forever.
Maybe I don't, like, should I say, when she gives me advice, you know, bee pollen, et cetera, do I go, well, I don't think you know what you're talking about. Well, she'd be offended. Of course she knows. Oh, you do know what you're talking about. Aha!
That's how she tricks people, yep.
Yeah.
Don't trick me!
Right. The poll was, can Kyle use Lindy as a registered dietitian? Hashtag Pizzagate. 11% say yes. 89% say no.
Yeah. Maybe
what's making her pick that person?
I don't know. She's cherry.
Instagram ad.
I had no idea.
Kyle loves carrots, and this lady's like, "Eat carrots more." And she's like, "I can do
it.
That."
Right.
I don't know.
You could snack sometimes, and she's like, "I love to snack sometimes." And this one really broke the mold when it comes to dietitians.
I liked on the forums, Keith, I like your joke structure where you're like, red meat, should I eat it never, occasionally, or too much where it's bad? I don't know. Too much where it's bad or just a good amount where it makes sense? Oh, it's a classic Keithism. I love it.
Yeah, it's a little silly. It's a little silly. But how exciting that I know how to make a sunny side up egg.
Dude, when I heard that ep, okay, I'm in your frigging dugout. Like, you know, I'm on the team, but I'm in the dugout and I'm just cheering you on because maybe I'm on the injured list or whatever. But I'm like, yes, Keith. And then we round home plate and then we do a big chest bump because I freaking love to fry an egg. And when you do make that first egg and you really flip it and you get it good, ooh, what's better than that? Oh, baby, it's almost as good as water.
Right. And I didn't know, like, to me, an egg seemed raw if you didn't flip it over. I didn't know that's really, I mean, I've seen pictures of sunny side up eggs. It's optional. But I didn't know, like, it's already cooked enough. You're fine. It's not going to make you sick.
People are saying that their freedoms are being taken away by the mask. In this country, when you have the option to not even flip your egg if you don't want to, okay? That's my America.
Yeah.
Sunny side up, over easy, whatever you want.
Anything.
Scramble them. I don't care.
I was babysitting these kids once in an Upper East Side apartment. This couple, the woman was a lawyer and she had her office from home, but needed to have her office hours. So I'd babysit, I'd pick them up from school and I'd take them home. I only lasted a little while. She was so obsessive. Her kids knew exactly how to punch her buttons. You know, they'd start yelling and yelling and yelling. I'm like, you can yell. And she's like, give them whatever they want. Just get them to be quiet. I'm like, well, this is a great job. Mm-hmm. And for dinner, they were very, very picky. So she's like, can you just make him an egg? You know, he likes it scrambled, whatever. And he starts whining. I don't want it scrambled. I don't want it scrambled. I'm like, do you know what a sunny side up egg is? And he'd never heard of it and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, you could dip it, blah, blah, blah. I got him like all into it. I made it. And she's like, salmonella? I'm like, it's cooked. Aww. And she completely like worked hard to turn him off to this egg. And I'm like, I am going home. And they would come home. There was one time, I swear, I only babysit like four or five times this family. But they came home and they were having dinner and they offered me nothing. And I'm like, can I leave? You guys are at the dinner table. Do you know that you have company technically? I mean, I get that I'm the help, but this is a small Manhattan apartment. Goodbye. So weird.
So weird.
I'll take the egg with me. Corner. Can I? She threw it out.
In front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, no. We don't want anyone to get sick.
I used to babysit a lot in Manhattan. I have a lot of similar vibe of
story. It's different kids. Those kids are different. Yeah. I don't know.
There was a family that I did cook for pretty much every night. And there were three boys, twins, and then a little brother. And they all were very picky eaters, but they didn't like any of the same foods as one another. Oh. So it's not like they all hated spinach. It was like, I love spinach, but I hate it. And I will only eat mushrooms, and I will never eat anything, you know, and they were so terrible. So I just made a lot of meatloaf, I'll be honest with you. That was one thing we could all agree on. One time I made a pizza and I put artichoke hearts on it, and you would have thought that I frigging dropped an atomic bomb on their dinner table. Even the parents were upset about the artichoke hearts. I was like, guys, this is a frigging delicacy. We get this at the gourmet grocery store. Like, this
hey guys,
is good.
I don't know if you know this, but you guys spent a lot of money on artichokes today. So yeah. Go choke on it.
Yeah. I'll show you an artichoke.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, moving on. We have to move on.
People still have to fill out the bone marrow information. All
yeah,
right?
And I'm a murderer, and I'll murder with your bone marrow, and then you'll be abetting a crime.
Somebody, one that? Person out there believed you, what you just
Save
said.
A life to take a life. Ooh. Okay, episode 3,300, Runner's High with Dan Lamort. Now, you brought up in this episode that your first live show, I think, was at episode 300, and this was episode 3,300, and it's like the guest is maybe sort of like, I don't know how to react to that, and you both are just doing like big pregnant pause and heavy sigh where you're like, can you believe we've been doing this we've done this 3,000 times? Like, it really just sinks in for you. And it's sort of an ambivalence of like, is this good? Is this bad? You know, who am I? What does it all mean? And it just sort of all crystallized in that one moment and was a little bit freaky for me. Personally, I felt a little bit it was a little vulnerable of you guys. You were like, for 15 years, you know, like, damn. And Dan's like, sometimes I go for a jog, you know. I don't
Dan's
know.
Dan's like, is this about me? Okay.
He's an interesting guy, I got to tell you.
Mm-hmm. I like how open he is. You know, yeah, we fight on the street. I hate it. She loves it. I go for a run.
Well, right, it's where during fights he goes, gotta run, and he just starts running.
The more he thinks his girlfriend wants to talk to him, the longer his run is. Right. That's how they've been getting along.
I know Adam Brown does that. He smokes and then he runs, and he's losing so weight that way. Yeah. Did we ask the audience, do you get high before exercising? 30% do.
Mm. Yeah. I think
I tell my mom about that. She's a runner. But she doesn't do the other thing.
It's tricky if you're not like a regular smoker because you're so high that you're almost dizzy. Maybe don't do that. Maybe just work on tying your shoe, and after an hour, you'll come down enough to, you know, loop it across and then you can go. I have a question for Bianca.
Please.
Was I highly interrupted during this episode?
By Dan?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Okay.
All right, cool. Did you felt as though you were?
She goes, no, it's a new thing she's going to ask each show.
This way you won't know who I actually felt that way about.
I mean, I did notice some crosstalk, but I figured it was just kind of one of those, we're doing Zoom, you know, remote recording kind of things. It didn't seem like a steamroll, but it, you know, I wasn't privy to it, so I consider you to be the consummate professional who would be able to fool me if you were being.
No, I'm glad it's not. And I wasn't sure if I was just being kind of like, can I talk? Or I don't know. But there was a lot of times where he and I would start at the same time.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, yeah, he's the guest. I can talk tomorrow or another time. Like, I could always fill it in. I will have a chance to say my thing. And then again, we start at the same time and I let go. And then after a couple times, I'm like, what if I continue? Maybe it's my turn. And not once did he let out. And I saw Keith's face. He's like, well, I can't hear both of you. And I'm like, I want to like text Keith really quick. Like, I know, but it's not me, right? Like,
you're like, it's episode 3,300. I'm doing an experiment.
Right. Right. 15 years later, I'm trying something out here.
Keith, yeah, did you catch any of that?
I know what you're talking about, but nobody would have noticed. But
that's good.
You know, I would, if you're both talking at the same time and I can't hear, then I would default to him. Like, what was that? You know,
and I think that's the right thing to do because you already know what's that, Chemda. You asked me what's that 3,300 times. So it's totally fine. And maybe that's what he thought. He's like, bitch, you have 3,300 hours minimum. Okay, can I get my 5 minutes? And also someone like Dan Lamort, because he does tell a good story, because he is honest and open and vulnerable and funny. I'm like, he can interrupt.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about losing that much weight and like it being really challenging emotionally, but like, you know, validating, but it's hard, but also good, but bad. You know, it's interesting to hear that from a guy, I think, because I feel like we don't often get that perspective. So I thought that, and I mean, the before and after pics are, they are sensational. It really is sensational to see a big weight loss like that. And I can't imagine, I just can't imagine becoming so like singularly focused on one type of exercise and like being into like ultra running all of a sudden and becoming obsessive. I it seems like maybe a little bit risky in the other direction, honestly, where it's like, how much is too much running now?
Yeah, I do feel like saying, all right, 170 pounds, you're done.
Yeah.
I guess you got to maintain it, but you're done. It doesn't sound like you're just maintaining it.
He does, based on his posts anyway. I don't know if he mentioned, I forget like what was on a post and what was in real life, but now he is trying to maintain. When he loses weight, he gains it. And I do think that he ran, you know, a certain length and then more and then more. And I don't know, for that much weight, I think he did it pretty carefully, but I know that there is a danger in it. He lost probably less than what Bianca has ever weighed in her life.
Not my place to say.
Yeah. He has. I'll say it.
Shoot, yeah. Good. It'd be disgusting.
Congratulations to me. But I don't know, man. Body image stuff is crazy. Like, I've been having a really hard time because I've gained some weight.
Oh, I'm so glad I brought up your weight then.
No. It's good. We should talk about it. We should get it out in the open. I'm a fat piece of shit. No, but I have gained some weight. And I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's a combination of like, I'm on literally oral chemotherapy medication that perhaps is affecting my body in some kind of way. Who knows? Quarantine, stress of having cancer, working from home, you know, like who knows what's going on. But all factors have contributed to a little bit of weight gain. And even though I'm like dealing with a bunch of stuff that is air quotes more important than that, it's like basically all I talk about in therapy is how I feel bad that I've gained weight and how I like and like just beating myself up and feeling shame about it. And it's like, well, you know, might be actually kind of good to have like more to pull from if I am going to have to go through this major transplant thing. Like, and the doctors haven't said anything about how gaining weight is bad. They've even said, you know, it's better to gain a little than to lose any weight.
Ooh, then enjoy it.
So, yeah. So it's like, why do I feel like, you know, scum? But
I also gained weight.
It's so effed up in the insane in the membrane, as they say.
It is, but it is your body and carrying different weight, whether it's less or more. I think that has an impact. And also, like your clothes feel different.
Yes.
So then that that allows you to feel that all day. Like you sort of don't get a break from it. And the enjoyment of gaining weight starts to diminish because you're just like, I totally had fun, but but now that like I feel like I'm leveling off now and finding a little bit more of the stuff that I am supposed to eat. And I got at first, you know, you can't move, you're quarantined. I was literally scared to go outside. So I became sort of immobile. And once you do that, all the walking becomes a big deal. So I had to like sort of start over and now coming back. But, you know, it's a lot more fun to gain it than to lose it.
Yeah.
Even though like, I'm like, should I be eating this? Let's enjoy it. Hamburger cut in half.
What does the dietitian think?
Yeah, I don't know. But then it's also such a mind fuck to like have a chronic illness because it's like there's so much pressure to be healthy, you know, in our culture. Like you have to be healthy. You have to be healthy. And that means skinny sometimes. It's kind of code for skinny sometimes. Sure. But how can you like be healthy when you like are actually ill? Like I'm actually, I have a illness. So what do you mean when you say we just want you to be healthy? It's like, yeah, I want to be healthy. I would prefer not to have literal blood cancer, but you know, sometimes the chips fall differently, guys. Well, I don't know.
Next time your doctor says, hey, you know, you should be healthy, just a finger gun at him and go, that's on you, babe.
Yeah.
Bang, bang.
Try
that's what I'm here for.
I'm your doing turn. My part. You know, you guys better step up to the plate a little bit.
I got the flesh. You got the blood. Let's do this. Here we go. Right.
You just got to be careful how many chips fall where they may, you know?
Yes, exactly, Keith. And thank you so much for that addition. Absolutely. And that was very good. Funny,
thank
funny.
You.
Don't have sex with demons in your dreams. And that is a good way to avoid disease, according to President Trump's medical experts.
That was actually Bianca. I said this line, but this was Bianca who said, well, it can't be good. It can't be a good thing to fuck demons. That I know.
I noticed that you said that joke and I was like, yeah.
Yeah. That's our baseball team.
I texted that to him. Hell yeah. Okay. Should we move on?
Yes.
Okay.
We're over your health. Yeah.
Yeah. No, fuck that. I'm a fat piece of shit with cancer. Whatever. We got to move on. Episode 3301, Dogs in the Street with Micah Fox. Now, Micah has been on a lot, and she has, like, this rapport with you guys that I feel is very, it's very unique because she's been on so many times, and she's, like, grown with you, but then you kind of have had a pause in recent years, maybe. She hasn't been on as much, so it's sort of like an old friend come to town, but she's so funny. My gosh, she had some... She crushed. She had some zingers, and it got off to a pretty hilarious start, Keith, when you were like, how's your sobriety going? And she's like, I was absolutely drunk when I said that. I have no idea what you're talking about.
And I know I'm right. I know it wasn't, I'm gonna be sober for a month. It was a life change. She knew she had a problem. She was comparing it to her friend Karen, and it's like, well, if I want Karen to be sober, I need to be sober. It was a big thing.
Yeah. Oh, well. She's like, are you thinking of a different Micah Fox who's been on your show 70-something times? Right. And then in the forums, actually, somebody was like, Micah sounds good. She sounds, you know, relaxed and happy. She likes her boyfriend. It's nice to hear. And she wrote in saying, like, well, it's over for me, guys.
Right.
Looks like we had a good run.
You think I'm happy or a decent person or getting by? You're wrong, and I'm misrepresenting myself.
How was it to have her back during a Zoomy COVID show?
Fun. I like the way you said about Dan. Like, you know, she's open and, you know, talking about her boyfriend, how they get along, moving in together and all that. So that's always fun.
Yeah, and she really can take a joke. Like, she gets that absolutely anything can be funny. And so I feel like some of the stuff, like you said, she's an old friend. So I feel like some of the stuff that came out of our faces could have been taken offense. And I don't even remember what, but she always thinks it's funny first and then maybe take offense. Yeah. Except for that one time, July 4th. Do you remember this, Keith? Was it July 4th or that fake wedding?
It was a party. It was a party at our place.
It was a barbecue.
And Mike is so thin, speaking about weight. And I don't know how it even came
great,
up.
Great, Keith. Rub it in. All right. I get it.
But okay. I said, Micah, did you gain weight? And then she was like, what? And and then later, somebody was, who was it? Somebody was real drunk at our at the party, right? Liam McEnany, right. Mm-hmm. And.
Oh, I'll drop his name.
And I said, so I said something about it to him, and he goes, well, Micah didn't like that you said that she gained weight. I'm like, what is this conversation? Where is this going? Because you were out of line at this party, and what?
I don't know that you just said, Micah, did you gain weight? It was like, I don't know how to say it. It made sense where obviously there's no weight gain, you know, but at the same time, I think Keith learned his lesson. He hasn't spoken. You notice like he got real quiet when we talked about weight. He's like, what can I say? But at least he shuts his fucking face, you know? So yeah, he learned like you don't even joke about that. So yeah. Wasn't that same party where Liam got so drunk that he blamed us for whatever the fuck he did while he was drunk?
Yeah. Yeah. That we gave him the drinks, this grown adult.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I didn't hand him one drink. So maybe you took a lot of drinks, Liam. Is that what you're saying? You came to the party and did you bring a drink to the party? No. Oh, so you just, okay. Was that my fault? Oh, did I buy too many drinks? Should I have bought less just to not pour it in your cup?
Yeah. If you were a worse host than you are of parties, then none of this would have happened.
Yeah. I drank too much water at your house. Like I thought I was thirsty, but I'm not an ocean here. What the fuck?
And I asked Mike, I said, hey, so we had this weird thing with Liam, which, you know, you saw him, everybody saw him. So obviously, you know, it's not a surprise when I say we had to talk to him after. But he brought up that it was you were offended that I said that you gained weight. So I was being stupid. And I'm sorry if that's a thing. She said it wasn't a thing at all.
Oh, really?
Ah, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. Mm. Just Liam being a weirdo. Anyway, good guy.
He's a sloppy drunk.
And is Liam, what's Liam look like body wise? Got a couple extra on him, skinny guy, or
I'm allowed to talk about guys. He happens to, you know,
he's obese. He at some point lost, I think 100 or 200 pounds. He did a lot of walking, but he was he was in a very dangerous zone, and I think he changed his habits a little bit and starting to. And he actually did start getting more healthy, not just because of the weight loss, but because of movement and food. And I don't know, I don't remember if he gained or lost the weight after that. I really don't. But he would going back to us, he would multiple times like come to a party or hang out or do something, and then we'd get like a letter or like a subtweet, you know, on Facebook at the time, like how we're pieces of shit because he acted fucked up after drinking, and he would blame us a lot. And I don't know, Keith was the last one, like a direct email to me. And I was like, I'm not responding to you anymore. I didn't. And then he's moving to LA, but like he had to send some sort of final weird fuck you, not necessarily saying directly fuck you, but saying fuck you. And I'm like, okay. I guess you had a bad night last night. I was nowhere near you, but it's always somehow our fault. So I'm like, oh, yeah, sounds like you take a lot of responsibility for the shit that you do. Yeah. Bye.
And I only ask that about him because I always think it's interesting when somebody does the thing of like, oh, what you said made third person upset. And it's like, well, what about you? Like implicates you in this at all that you would even be bringing it up at all, you know, like why is it your business? So I think sometimes it's like, you know, following the threads of people's damage and, you know, really getting to the bottom of it. Just, you know,
what Keith calls a trick.
A trick, yeah.
Somehow it's a trick. You know it.
What
you
Keith
know it,
calls
I know
a
it.
Trick, I call life's rich tapestry. And what was the pull here?
Do you believe that masks really keep people safe?
From what?
From being caught in Eyes Wide Shut for being a pervert.
From not getting Halloween candy? You better believe it.
One person said no, they do not keep you safe. One
show
person.
Yourself.
I do want to hear how it's a fucking conspiracy.
They are showing themselves. They're the only ones without a mask. We see you. Mm. We see all
die
of you.
I would die for my country. Well, here's a piece of cloth. I can't breathe. Well, you're a weak bitch. You thought you were fucking Lee Greenwood acting like you're going to go overseas and take care of the Taliban. I'm asking you to wear a cloth. It gives me trouble to breathe. Well, wait till you find out the weather in Afghanistan.
Wait till you see how hot the uniform is.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. It's hot.
Really, it's also really hard to breathe with a respiratory illness, I've heard.
Yeah.
COVID makes it pretty hard to breathe.
Yeah, never mind Iraq. Wait till you do boot camp in Georgia.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, Keith. Sounds personal.
Okay. Yeah. So,
Keith, do those uniforms breathe? Like, do they make them for war? Like, or
You get used to it. You get used
moisture wicking fabric.
It changes your blood, you know, thinner blood, thicker blood, depending on where you are, and you get used to it.
Yeah. Is it heavy?
Georgia was tough.
Yeah.
Is it heavy? Nah, it's your clothes, so you're used to it.
Okay. But the boots, I think the boots are the most heat induced.
I was surprised how comfortable the boots are because they look simple, but I was comfortable.
Okay. Plus, they shaved off your head, so you have a cooling system up there now.
Yeah, you keep seeing the steam come off it in Georgia.
Wow.
No, I was at in Missouri, and then I was in Georgia, the coldest place and the hottest place. So don't tell me about a mask.
Yeah.
Did you get to see Missouri or Georgia?
No.
No?
No, I had boot camp in Missouri, then took a language school in California, which was beautiful.
Wait, was that the first time you were on an airplane to boot camp?
It could have been.
Were you the one, like, you know, up against the window, like, I'm in the air?
How exciting.
Like, licking the window. Like,
I've seen movies. I've seen movies.
Play it cool.
Right. And then they found out noticed that I didn't sign up for 4 years into the military, so I can't take this job in California, so they moved me to infantry. That's when I did basic training in Georgia. Hmm. Yeah, but don't tell me about masks, you fucking puss. Don't act like you're an American, a tough American.
Yeah, Herman Cain, RIP.
Mm-hmm. Herman Cain going to the rally, surprise, gets the disease. Can you fucking imagine? How stupid. It's so stupid. You beat stage 4 cancer, and this is what you're doing now, you moron. And did he know better? He just knows he's got to play it this way. It's a political statement now, but he knew better. And then he gets and he's like, fuck, I knew it.
I don't know.
Who was someone asked Trump, I'm forgetting the guy's name. Like, what do you think of this guy? He was, you know, a leader in the black movements. And Trump
John
goes,
Lewis.
Yeah. And he goes, he didn't come to my
inauguration.
I don't know him. Yeah, but he did a lot. Like, do you think he's, you know, are you impressed with him in general? Well, I don't know him. He didn't come to my inauguration, and I don't know him. Okay, let's say we put that aside. Like, the interviewer just kept going and going, and the guy's like, not familiar.
So yeah, crazy. That's like middle school girl, you know, retort.
Who?
Who?
Don't know her.
Get real.
Get a clue. Okay.
I just picture like these COVID deniers dying from COVID. And then like as the spirit leaves the body, the spirit is like slinking away, very embarrassed, like a ghostly form. That's just like, oh, God, I can't believe I did that.
Did I do that?
Yeah, can you be embarrassed when you die? Because if you can, then they are.
Right. You hope so. It's just fucking ridiculous. How, and it, you know, everybody's a trickster and everybody's trying to get things over on you. But when you have a conspiracy theory that's so crazy, like, you know, we want you to wear the mask so that you start thinking this is a real thing. Then what's a real thing? Microsoft can give you the virus antidote, and that's to track where you are, as if you don't have the tracking where you are HomeKit literally on your TV and your phone and your watch and your, like, yeah. They know where you are, by the way.
But, and Herman Cain did a pizza place, and Pizzagate was a thing with Hillary. The earth is flat.
And Kevin words Bacon. Fast? Okay, Kevin Bacon. How much can I eat? So, yeah, when you think like something is, we're trying to get you to take a vaccination because there's going to be a tracking device in it. How at that point do you just go to work? This is a sick fucking world we're in. How do you just write that on Facebook and then go back to playing with the dog?
Well, I think they're just cruising Facebook at the job at that point, you know, not even liking anything like assholes, just going, I would like that, but I'm working.
A stingy liker.
Yeah. Mm.
All right. Let's move on to the VIP.
Woot woot.
VIP special spectacular. Diamond Dogs, episode 21, Start a Fire, arf arf.
Yes.
Now, speaking of tricksters, Craig, who is going to be on Silent Trailers coming up that I'm going to be on too, very exciting because Craig has seen a lot of movies, apparently ones that you were in, Keith, that you don't know about. Right. So maybe he will beat you in Silent Trailers because he has this separate knowledge of stuff that he's watched that you've been in that is nobody knows about but him. And the way you get there is you take a left, okay?
To the movie theater. He knew I was in a movie, another horror movie, not She's Crushed, and laughing at me for having no idea what this was. Now, it doesn't matter how much I drank. This is the most ridiculous fucking thing I ever heard. And you know, as we talk in the show, he brings up an ex of his. And we start talking about that for a little bit. And then goes, wait a minute. Now it came to me 15, 20 minutes later. It was her movie and you came with me and saw it. I'm like, okay. Anything else you want to say? No. Isn't that funny?
Well, do I know this ex?
Hari.
I thought so. Yeah. Okay. She's a good actor.
Well,
he thought it was me. Yeah.
I felt, Keith, I felt like it was your number one trigger happening. Like your best friend, like Brutus, you know, getting Caesar at the end where you're like, okay, one thing I hate, Craig, is tricks. And as my friend, you should know that I hate to be tricked and don't trick me. And then he's like, Let me tell you what happened. And I'm very sure that this happened exactly this way. You're like,
no! Oh, he had a whole story. He took a cab, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, now that I think about it, maybe it wasn't you. You called me an idiot in text. You're calling me an idiot on this show. But okay, so you got to figure it out. Very good. All right, yeah. Topic number two. You getting laid?
We were on the left side of the theater, but it wasn't me. Okay, right. Craig.
Why?
Well, now you won't even tell me if you're getting laid. Why is he conscientious objector to the "you getting laid" segment? That's a big part of the dogs show.
Right. Just you can be quick. You can answer in a clever way or something. But I think it's his ex. They're that on and off again. Something weird like that is going on. She listens, and he's being a pussy. That's what I think.
Okay. Well. I get that, right?
Yeah, it's just funny how he said, you know, tell me, you could also like tell me off the show, but it's almost like he's saying it so she hears, I think. That's what I think.
Yeah, maybe. He was sort of like, I won't dignify that with a response. As if I didn't already know the premise of the show and also invent it with you.
Right. Could have been your idea, in fact, but okay.
If you ever go to chat, especially on Wednesday night, Craig is usually there, and boy, does he know how to set Keith off.
Yeah.
Oh, it's man. Pretty funny. Oh, it's my goodness. Funny. He's just like, and triggers off. Keith is fucking getting up, ranting and raving. All of a sudden, you see more of Keith's house. It's bananas. And they always look like they're fighting and everyone's just eating popcorn. It's great.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Craig thinks I'm trying to set him off. I'm like, yes, I legitimately like the Fred Durst album, Chocolate Starfish. And he's like, that can't be true. That cannot be true.
And it's sort of like our angel, Adam Brown, is there just providing color commentary, like as if he's sort of calling a boxing match or something. He's above it all. And he's the funniest person, I think. I just think he's too funny to even be. It's like not allowed. Right. Adam, you're fired. This is too good. You know, you should be doing this. You should be getting paid $100,000 a year just for the jokes you make on Diamond Dogs. And that I stand down. By that.
Wow, I stand by that. I'm going to make Mexico pay for it. Oh, boy.
He is so easygoing, Adam. Like, raised in Brooklyn. He's got that Brooklyn accent. He used to graffiti. He's got the whole, like, Brooklyn vibe mixed with, like, the biggest hippie in the world. He's just like, yeah, that's cool. Like, just everything is cool. You can literally tell him anything, and he'll just be like, okay, that's you. He's also, like, very cultured and like just so artsy and so funny, but it's just like another day, just whatever. Yeah.
And he is getting laid.
So, he is getting laid. Yeah. I love his getting laid analogies, right? When he's not, he describes how dry his dick is, you know, gets scientific about black holes, but when he's wet, he picked a city in it with a rainforest, and it's pretty funny.
Okay, now I want to round out the show with the biggest news of last week, which is that Keith saw a movie that he loved.
Yes.
What We Do in the Shadows.
So good.
And I have to see it. I can't wait.
It's so good. I think you have to rent. I rented it on Amazon. If you don't like it, I'll give you your money back.
Whoa.
Wow.
Big offer.
But I will know you're a fucking idiot. So if that's worth $4,
yeah. Interesting. Well, I'm so happy for you.
Because I feel like me.
Yeah, it's been a while since since you watched something that you really liked.
Yeah, Jojo Rabbit was the last thing. Happened to be the same guy, yeah.
And before that it was The Sixth Sense, so
it's been a bit.
Oh, what a couple of years, Keith. Hold on to your hat. How are
Kemda,
you?
Are you going to watch it?
I am. I keep forgetting. And also, I'm so into Gilmore Girls that I'm just like obsessed. And I forgot what happened towards the end because I think I might have fallen off last time. And now I'm like, is Luke going to do? When is Luke going to? I don't understand. And I'm so into the relationship now.
Yeah, quick. Where are you? Quick. Where are you in the series?
She's referencing something that even her great great grandparents wouldn't have heard of, little Rory. So that's where she's at right now.
I don't want to give anything away. I'm at the part where we deal with Luke's boat.
Oh, okay. God. Yep. Fantastic storyline. Oh, my God. Ooh. Mm. Ooh, a knife in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And what about Fiddler on the Roof?
Oh my God, I just saw that one. Yeah. Oh. Yep. I'm feeling it. And I keep, every time we watch an episode, I'm also rewatching it again with Xerxes, and we're only on season one. So I'm watching like that season and then going back when we watch it. And I have paused the show to talk to Xerxes about the Lorelai-Luke relationship, and I compare them to us. So I'm like, why did Luke say that? And he's like, well, maybe, you know, she's not giving him an in. And I'm like, well, if he's going to be so quiet and grumpy, and he's like, well, listen to his words, he's not being quiet and grumpy. And it's just this whole next layer. And sometimes out of nowhere, I'll just have a conversation. I'm like, I've been thinking about Luke.
Yeah.
Well, how if this... This boat, sorry, but this boat is in the garage.
You better stop. I saw you looking on Wiki. Do not ruin it for people. This is a very important show.
For who hasn't seen it?
Yeah. A lot of people.
If the boat was there for a decade, why wasn't there in the previous season?
What do you mean? It was in someone else's garage.
It was not in her garage.
It was
it
not.
Got moved.
It was in Luke's rented garage, right? The way I remember
rental.
It.
A rental. This is Thompson's garage.
I know what I'm talking
He's
about.
Going
but all
to
right.
a home in.
Yeah.
You know what
Florida.
Doesn't have any continuity problems? What we do in the shadows, and it's about vampires.
Whoa.
Well, what?
Dice.
The only continuity issue I found, and maybe Bianca could help me, maybe even off the air, I know that we're getting into a whole
thing. There's a lot of them, actually, I could tell you about.
Really?
Go on.
We need to have a whole Gilmore Girls show, but okay. What Rachel, okay. Rachel came back after 5 years, but Lorelai doesn't have a clue who this Rachel person is.
I know, from the sweatshirt. It's very unclear when Luke and Lorelai met. Honestly, I think it was probably after Rory was like around
10
middle school. Yeah, 10. But then
she lived down the block.
But in other episodes, he references like stuff that happened when she was little. So
that's right. Yeah. So the whole Rachel thing throws a wrench in that. Just saying. I wasn't happy about
that. No, I'm with you. There's a couple.
Also, I don't like Lorelai telling Luke that Rachel's going to stay. You don't know her. And she keeps walking out on him. So what's this thing? But I know what she's doing. She's
just
like, I'm
meddlesome.
Just yeah. Okay. Also, he can put his belt on himself. Okay.
Oh, I know. The whole thing with her shopping for him, it's like, okay, just freaking you love him. He loves you. Like, deal with it. Do we have to wait so many seasons? Yes, we do. Yeah, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Right, Keith?
Kendra's not ready for what we do in the shadows.
I told you I'm not done with Gilmore Girls. I will be ready after that. So just remind me. I'll be like, I'm done with Gilmore Girls. You're ready for the shadows.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. Cheers to you all with big glasses of water.
L'chaim.
And yeah, l'chaim to life. Do you love me? Do I what? Do you love me? Do I love you? With our daughters getting married and there's trouble in the town. This has been Last Week on Keith and the Girl. Do you love me? I do. Fiddler on the Roof.
L'chaim.
Keith and the Girl.com.